You know, and I'm going to speak on behalf of not just Bridget myself, but the eldership team, the pastoral team. We just value you guys and love you guys so much. And I know this year has been a tough year. And once again, I just want to say a huge, huge thank you. Words cannot express the gratitude and the love in my heart, in our hearts, for the work that you do behind the scenes and how we make this work. And 2021 is going to be a great year. Okay, let's try that again. 2021 is going to be a great year. Here we go. Now we're talking to the right people. Okay, so well done, Jess and the team. Thank you so much. And I want to preach tonight and talk tonight about a little bit about, of course, the Christmas story. But what I want to talk about is, oh, what a night. Oh, what a night. And can we get excited? Come on, all say it together. Oh, what a night. What an amazing night this has been. But there's another night I want to talk about. And if we look at in the book of Luke, and the doctor, I like to call him Luke, the doctor of detail, because by his writings, when you read that, you will understand that he puts a lot of detail and historical account into, and he brings to life the authenticity and the reality and the trueness, the realness. You can pick a whole bunch of other words to go along with that, of the birth of Jesus. And he brings it to reality. Because, let me tell you, friends and family, this is not a once upon a time story. This actually happened and took place. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus," a true figure in our history, "that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor in Syria." He starts off the story talking about actual people, actual history, and an actual event. And the authenticity of the event takes place. And the people were real, the place was real, etc., etc. And the story of Jesus' birth began during the reign of two of the most amazing, you can go and read the history books and what they have to say about these people, Caesar Augustus and Quirinius, and what it all means. And so let's just read the Christmas story a little bit, reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." How would you be? "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not.'" It's easy for the angel to say, "Hey, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host," or a choir, "praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Oh, what a night. And verse 15, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" I think they did it with a lot more expression than I'm trying to give it yet tonight. I'd like to have been part of that shepherd team when the angels appeared and they were like, "Hey, we're just doing what we shepherds do. Hey, hey dude, you know?" And all of a sudden, oh well, anyway. I'm the one getting excited. I can see that. Where did I get to? Blah, blah. Verse 16. "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." See? They told us. Look, it's actually happening. This man, wow, what a night. This is awesome. "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Man, where we can think about it, oh, what a night. There have been many nights in history, catastrophes, news, disasters, other pandemics, believe it or not, great inventions, positivity, huge leaps forward in various sciences that we could go, man, oh, what a night when we got to hear that. And they have changed people's lives and changed the world and continue to do so, and which brings a radical change to the world. Some affect us. Some, if it happens somewhere else, doesn't really affect us. Some is good news. Some is bad news. Some is just indifferent news. But it's all to do with, oh, what a night. Can you imagine waking up the next day? The night that we were introduced to COVID, and we were, oh, my word, what is this all about? And we heard what's going on in other countries, and then it really hit our shores, and then we got locked down. And we don't need to ponder this stuff and think about it too much, because we're living it every day, and the world is living it every day. Monday night, Jupiter and Saturn aligned. If you're brave enough, put up your hand and tell me if you went out to have a look. Yeah, some of you got it. Some of you are like, yeah, what? Do you know that this is the first time it was so close since 1226? Over 800 years ago. And you missed it. I know we went out and we were like, there was so much cloud. And then my sister-in-law from Kentucky sent me a picture of where it was taken in Indiana. Man, it's just like the painting and the stars and this bright star with these four points on it. And I'm going, no, they fudged. She said, no, they actually took it with a telescope in Indiana. And she sent us the picture to have a look at. I'm telling you, there was a wonder in the skies. And some of you missed it. How about other nights that brought incredible circumstances to pass and often the world failed to notice it? How about for you personally? Now, if you've got more than one kid, I'm going to add the others in. When your first son or daughter was born, you didn't know what to do with yourself. And then when the next one was born, you were like, oh, now we got two. You know, now, then you got three, and some of you just got greedy, and you're carrying on. How about the day you got married? Or you passed in an important exam. And there's something you've been studying for, and you passed this, and now you got, and then they give you this certificate. I remember, what a day when we stood there and they took our pictures, we held our Canadian certificates, and we become citizens. Oh, what a night. How about when you started a new business, and this venture, and the excitement, and everything, and how you were going to change the world, right? You don't think I'm just going to change my little family, me and my three kids or four kids. No. You want to change the world. That's why you do this. In all of this and throughout history, one such night stands out above all. And this was the night that Jesus was born. It was a chaotic time. If you go and read the account, you'll see there were people coming in from all the coming in for the consensus, coming to be arraigned, coming to pay their taxes. That was the real thing behind the Romans, for them to come and pay taxes. It was no ordinary night. But for most of the people in the town there, they were just like, hey, can you imagine? Because people who'd left their villages came back, and now they were having to shack up with their family that was there. And, dude, I only got a two-bedroom house, and you've come with eight children. What do you want me to do? Kids were sleeping all over the place. The parents were sleeping in the barn, perhaps. I don't know. But this was no ordinary night. But it was the most impactful night in all of history upon heaven and earth, the night that Jesus was born. That's, oh, what a night. We've got to get excited. The shepherds were out in the fields doing what shepherds do, talking and looking after the sheep and watching their sheep. The people in the villages, let's just break it down a little bit. They were, those in Israel, they were just slumbering off to sleep, welcomed their family, welcomed visitors into their home, had a big meal. The weariness of another long day had worn off, and they were there just, and as they were going to sleep, and they drifted off to sleep. In Jerusalem, the high priest and the other men of religious power, after their duties, they had slumbered off and gone to sleep. And, well, that was another tough day. Oh, we get more people tomorrow. What are we going to do? Interesting, King Herod. He was like in his palace, you know, counting out his money. I don't know. What do kings do? He had no idea that his kingdom had just been invaded. There was a new king that was born. And, the three magi come from, we know the story. And, well, tell me where they are. Hot tip. So now here we go. If you've never seen the movie The Star, go home and watch it. It's on Netflix. It's animated. I know. It's a great movie. Go home and watch it. Anyway, okay. I digressed. Anyway, where was I? King Herod. The world over, people drifted off to sleep after this long day. And in all of this that was taking place, Waymaker, God was at work. He was transacting a cataclysmic cosmic alliance in the heavenlies, an eternal event that would change people's lives forever. They were unaware that the kingdom had arrived amongst them. Can you just think of that thought a little while? The kingdom of God had arrived in the person of this baby. They didn't know the Savior had been born in Bethlehem. The only people who really knew what was going on was this young couple who'd snuck into Bethlehem under cover of darkness, and they had come and they arrived and they were there looking for a place to stay and put their head down. Then all of a sudden, out in the fields, suddenly things changed for these shepherds. They were out there in the fields having this out-of-body experience with angels and a heavenly choir. That's why when it says, and they said, okay, let's go and see. I'm sure it was a lot more excited and shouting and screaming over each other and getting excited. Well, I would have been anyway. The declaration of the most profound message to the world, the gift of grace. Go tell it on the mountains. Go and tell that Jesus is announced by angels and a heavenly choir. A factual historical event that has never, ever been surpassed in all of Earth's history. Oh, what a night. Point number one. Oh, what a night. Luke 2:11. And we're going to break down Luke 2:11 a little bit for us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We all need a Savior. None of us are exempt from that one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we have to understand we all need a Savior. All of mankind needed a Savior, including Mary and Joseph. They both needed a Savior, but there was Mary, she was the Immaculate Virgin. No, you'll go and read. 1 John 4:47, she declares, this is my Savior. She gets it. Joseph understood it. We didn't need, or we still don't need, another advisor, a reformer, or a committee. We need a Savior, Jesus Christ. The angel said to Joseph, Matthew 12:1, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We are all born into sin. We are all born with a sinful nature. Not one of us is exempt. We have to understand that only God can forgive. No, I cannot forgive your sins. Only God can forgive you your sins. None of the pastors here can forgive you your sins. They can help you when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is only He who forgives you your sins. God sent His one and only Son into earth here, to this point, this eternal Son, to the world, because God had a plan. I love it. God was never short on plans and thoughts and ideas and how we do this. That's why Jesus said, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, because He is the Savior of the world. The revelation of the transition from Old Covenant or Old Testament to New Covenant, New Testament behavior came at this point in time when the perfect spotless Lamb was born amongst us to take away the sin of the world by the shedding of His blood. We would never have to ever again, after the cross, go under the sacrificial service. Birthed in a cave, placed in an animal's trough, the birth of God's child. You would have thought at some place along this thing that the king that was born would have been born in a palace, etc. But I'm going to show you. He came to the whosoever, to the poor and the lowly. A deeper revelation. Next slide. Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ is the English word for Christos, the Greek word, which means the anointed one. Jesus Christ, is not his surname. Jesus, the anointed one, that's what it means. When you go and look at it, it speaks out and it translates into the Messiah. He is our Messiah, the one that we came. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. He says, the birth of Christ is the arrival of the great warrior and the great king. Also of the lover, the bridegroom, whose beauty surpasses that of man. But not only the bridegroom as the lover, the desired, the bridegroom also who makes fruitful the father of children still to be begotten and born. Isn't that beautiful? Understanding the deeper revelation of who Jesus is. John 1:41, Andrew goes along and says to his brother Simon, we have found the Christ. We have found the anointed one, the one, not a one, not there's others to come, there was others before him. No, this was the one, the Jesus, the babe that was born, grew up. This is the long predicted, the long prophesied, the long awaited, the one anointed above all others. Amen. I'm preaching 95% better than you're responding this evening. But that's okay. I know you. You're thinking of sugar plums and stuff in your head. The one who comes to fulfill thousands of years of prophecy. That boggles my brain sometimes when I go and I read the Old Testament, you go to the New Testament, you see, that's what they said. Psalm 45, do yourselves a favor, go and read Psalm 45. It describes the attributes of this long-awaited king of the righteousness, the anointed by God. The imagery that given there is portrayed of the bride and the bridegroom. And we know throughout Scripture that is the same kind of portrayal of it. He is the true anointed king, the true anointed prophet, the true anointed priest, the one and only Savior, and that is Christ Jesus. The babe born in Bethlehem in a manger. The only way to the one true God is through the Son Jesus. We cannot get to God any other way, Scripture teaches us. 2 Corinthians 1:20, this should be a good promise for you. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. What a moment of truth and authority. All the promises in God find their yes in him. And when we look to Jesus and we follow Jesus and we read his word and we take hold of it and we imbibe it and we take hold of the promises, all the truth is in him, a yes and an amen. He would come and fulfill all the hopes and dreams of mankind because his throne is forever and ever and ever. Not like every other king, there's a time to rise and a time to go down. No, his throne is forever and ever. And because of that, he is also, Luke 2:11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And some of us fail to get there. He is the ruler, the sovereign one, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Lord of the universe. Isaiah 9:6 put it this way. Now we have to understand, Isaiah wrote this down in 740 BC. 740 years before Christ came, Isaiah wrote, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he says, write this down. Now, I often think, well, we come here, and we got like, I'm too afraid to say 2020 vision, but we have good hindsight vision. We look back and we go, oh, yeah. Can you imagine when Isaiah was writing this to the people, they were going, what is he on about? He put it this way, for to us a child is born. To us, a son is given. They could have gone, yeah, okay. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. His government, his peace, will rule and reign forever and ever, and it will increase. And we might think, well, what is happening now? Man, this is a blip on the radar of the heavenly Rolex watch. The idea is not that these will be literal names of the Messiah. Instead, these are aspects of his character, and they describe who he is and why he came to do what he came to do. He is the Lord of never-ending universal sovereignty, sovereign governance. It is the governance above all governance. Did I say that? The Lord of all lords. Jesus is not only our Savior. This is not a get me out of hell quickly idea. You know, like get me out of this place quickly, Lord. No, that's not what it is. He is our true Savior. Jesus is not our concierge or bellhop that we only call on him when we're in trouble. We have to build, we should. His heart is to have a relationship one-on-one with us, to honor him. He is the Lord, and we should honor him as such, in reverence for who he is. In reverence, being fearful of him, not afraid, fearful, but with reverence and honor and declaring that he is Lord. My mother used to teach me all this day. Other used to say, Marky, Jesus is either Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Well, I just want you to be Lord over this little thing, Lord. No, that's what I want to keep for myself. Don't work like that. Second thing, a prophecy of, oh, what a night. Not only was it revealed in history and authenticity, it was also prophesied about, as we saw in Isaiah. But if you in Scripture, over 300 prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus' life. Luke 24:44 says, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, it's the five books, first Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. There's a lot of scripture there. And Jesus is saying, all of that that was written about me by this needs to be fulfilled. The first messianic prophecy came plus or minus 1,450 years before Christ. They were already prophesying in Genesis about Jesus' coming. How do I know? Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Talking about the battle that would come between Christ and Satan. Sin had just entered the world, and God already had a plan in place. He wasn't like, oh, now I'm caught napping. I don't know what to do, guys. He already had a plan on how to deal with it. Enmity has the idea of ill will and mutual antagonism. That's why you cannot be for the world and against Christ, or you need to be for Christ, and then you are against the world. And we have to learn how to live our lives in this fallen world where we are right now. The friendship that Eve sort of had with the serpent and what she enjoyed is gone. It's done. Done and dusted. That's not happening anymore. God prophesies the doom of Satan, showing that the real battle that was going to take place between Satan was from the seed of the woman, talking about Jesus, and he would be the awaited Messiah that we celebrate the birth of today. And we can get all coochie-coo about the babe in the manger and all that kind of stuff. We have to believe and understand this was the God-child, the man-child of the Father. He was born. This was no unplanned birth. Every detail was taken place of. He was born on a definitive day in history in a city of Bethlehem. You can go and visit it there. If some of you might have already had that privilege. He is the Savior, the one prophesied about, the one who would take away the sin of the world, the one who was born to deliver you and me from the kingdom of darkness and transport us in the kingdom of light when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. He is the one to take us from eternal death to eternal life. He is the one, in him we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the promise is all things have passed away, all things have become new. Why would you not want to follow this Lord and Savior? He came to fulfill because he is the Christ, the anointed one to fulfill and redeem us and reconcile us back to the Father. Because in the Garden of Eden, that was what was broken. And Jesus came to set that at rights again. And then again, he is the Lord, the one who has never, ever been defeated in any battle. And he makes us safe and he gives us a position and identity in him forever. Lastly, in line with the series we've been doing, Christ has come. So you mean, well, what does that mean? Well, this, when I say Christ has come, this was a glorious birth. Oh, what a night. What an awesome night. Number one is the grace of his birth. And we say, what do you mean by that? I'm so glad you asked. In the kingdom, we have to understand there is no class, no ethnic division, no cultural, no socio-economical divisions, no distinctions. When we come to Christ in Jesus, we are all one in Christ in salvation. We all carry his name. We all are children of him and heirs of his promise. And Luke 22 verse 8 says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over the flock. Now we've looked at this a little bit, and the point I want to drill down on this is understanding that over history, over time, shepherds in Israel had become reclassified. And what I mean by that, they had become the nobodies of society. Yet this King of Grace is announced to them first. Makes you wonder. He comes to the lowest caste in society and announces to them. By virtue of their duties, shepherds were considered ceremonially unclean and therefore could not carry or hold any public office. They were considered the lowest of the lowest. Yet it is to them that they, out in the field, talking about, you know, I don't know, think about what the conversation could be in. Man, that one sheep looks just like that sheep. I wonder if that sheep's name's Dolly, you know. They, you know, I don't know what they talk about. I like your sheep. His horn is crooked this way, and that one is this way. And I don't know. Your coat is lovely. But these are the men that were talking about it. And into this low caste, into this social context of religious snobbery and class prejudices, God's son stepped forth. God handpicked these lowly shepherds, a bunch of them out in the fields tending their sheep. And they came with the joyous news. It's a boy, and he's the Messiah. And that's why I consider that their conversation was a little bit more animated than mostly we read. The King of Grace, no matter who you are, where you were born, where you see yourself, your station in life, where you've been, what you have done. Well, I'm just too bad for this. No, you're not. This King Jesus, regardless of your past, no matter where your future is going or how low you may feel in society, there is still hope for you in Jesus Christ. The Lord turns no one away. He invites all to come to him, to meet him and be saved by the grace of his Father, God. Second thing is the glory of his birth. Luke 2:10, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. This message was given personally to these poor shepherds, yet it is a message for all of mankind. All people. I know we are live streaming. Can I just go off script a little bit? It bugs me, even more so when I hear Christians say happy holidays. This is Merry Christmas. This is the birth of the Christ. This is a celebration of the Christ Mass. And we need to understand that. And it says, all people, this is the most inclusive of all there is for people to take hold of. Everyone is welcome at the table of Jesus. May we never forget the message of Christmas. Go and tell it on the mountains. Go and tell it everywhere. Is a personal message for all people. You need to be sure that we are saved by God's grace and that we are in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be Christian. Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Christian, little anointed ones. That's what it is. He loves you. He died for you. He reaches out to every one of us and he wants to know you in a personal way. The man-child that was born, who we celebrate. God's plan of salvation is all about us, you, coming to know his son Jesus in a very personal way. Have you met the Lord Jesus Christ personally? Thirdly and lastly, the goal of this birth. Luke 2:17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told concerning this child. Man, they never even heard of Go Tell It on the Mountains as we have. And they were ready to go and do it. While this message might have been given to a small group of people, small group of shepherds out in the fields, sitting under the stars, watching everything going in a little out-of-the-way village in Israel, God intended these good tidings to be spread abroad and to be heard throughout the world. This was a small beginning. You know, scripture says, do not despise the day of a small beginning. And that is a message that is given to everybody who wants to go and plant a church. Well, it's just me and my family. Yeah, and never despise the days of small beginnings. These men heard the good news first, but they would not be the last. These shepherds met Jesus and they went right out and told others. Read the story. The gospel is a message designed for all people of all ages. It is a message that deserves to be shared in this day and hour. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 helps us. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Jew and to the Gentile. Every person we meet, every person you meet is a candidate to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, is a candidate to hear the joy and the good news of a babe born in Bethlehem. Every home we enter into, every shop we go to, every petrol gas station you go to, every grocery store you go to, wherever we go, the gospel needs to be shared. We are in the business of sharing this message until Jesus calls us out of this world. And I want to encourage you this evening. And I want to say to you, Merry Christmas. I'm a happy boy tonight.
Oh, hi. Mark just asked me just before we got here if I would say something, and I haven't prepared anything except from my heart. In this last year, I have not missed shopping. I have not missed my lipstick. I have missed you. And the worst part for me, being the happy hugger, is not being able to have touched you, not being able to have hugged you, looked into your eyes, seen your smile. But I know from my heart to yours that this will pass. So I want to wish you a hopeful Christmas. And I want to wish you an even more hopeful New Year.
Yeah.
There is no safer or more hopeful place than we can be, resting in Him. So I want to just say that from my heart. I love you. I have missed you. Seeing your faces is food for my soul. Keep well, keep safe, keep happy, keep sane, keep serving Jesus and keep loving Him, because in Him we have every yes and amen. I heard something the other day and I thought, yeah, what has He promised you, Bridget? What has He promised you? Because on the other side of your saying yes to Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. Say yes to Him.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. We wish you Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful family time tomorrow. Go and read Psalm 45. Revel in the goodness of our Lord and Savior. And if any of you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be happy to pray for you. There will be some people here from our ministry team who would be happy to pray with you if anyone needs prayer. And just a reminder, this will be our last in-house meeting for this year anyway. So this coming Sunday, two or three days hence, we are going to be doing it live streaming online. We're allowed 10 people here, so we're allowed to have the musos here. We're allowed to have and sound team. Again, those iceberg people that you don't see what's going on behind the bar, but are doing a tremendous work to keep us all moving forward in God. Bless you all. Thank you so much for coming. Drive carefully. Stay safe.